All right, I'm going to give it a try. What's happening? It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. It is time for your favorite show, Northeast Delta Dental Radio, featuring the most handsome host in Pulse of New Hampshire history, longest host, best grandpa, best dancer, best runner, best ice cream eater. In fact, he invented certain flavors of ice cream that we enjoy today. Mr. Tom Raffio joins us. What's going on, Tom?
Thanks, Nazzy. What a terrific introduction. And I have to give a shout out, though, to Jack Heath, because he did give me my start in radio.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I could be the longest running host.
Very possible.
For 13 years with the same title, with the same curly hair.
I want to also add author. As well as president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental.
So let's start there, and then that'll be my nice segue into introducing today's guest. So the book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, is going really well. What I've found is that people are intrigued by all the different people that I referenced in New Hampshire. So you can get it at the Bookery in Manchester. There's now hardcover available. You can also get it at Gibson's in Concord. And if you want the Amazon truck to drive up your driveway, you can get it that way as well. And that's a nice segue into our guest today, Professor Annabelle Burrell, because Annabelle was the lead author on the second book, Mindfulness, A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World. And how that came to being was several years ago. This is pre-COVID, so people were stressed out then, but a little less so, but it's exacerbated since COVID. But I was walking around and I noticed people were on the phone doing emails simultaneously, and people were telling me that they were stressed out. So I said, gee, we really need to address this. And of course, Annabelle and I go way back from a lot of different, leadership training and so forth. So I said, let's get Annabelle in. And to this day, probably has saved not necessarily literally, but has really helped our employees live a full life. Marriages are better. They're more productive at work. And as recently as last week, I probably got 6 or 7 employees who I ran into were starting to get together a little bit more in person. Oh, my God, I didn't realize Professor Burrell had all this, background. So let's start there. Annabelle, thank you for joining me. Number one, I know you're really busy. But I think everybody should really know your very distinguished background. So could you just start there?
Well, hello, Tom, and thank you. I'm delighted to be here. My background, to keep this short, I started off as a chartered accountant, went into investment banking, then ran my own business in artificial intelligence back in 1985. Who would believe that? And then in the early 90s, I decided to go back to school. And I decided to study comparative religion and ethics. And it was during my studies of comparative religion and ethics that I began to get really interested in contemplative practices. And that's when I was exposed to all kinds of contemplation, meditation, all that type of thing. So where I am right now is I combine quite a long corporate life, doing as a consultant, as an auditor, as an accountant, as an entrepreneur, and with some organizations such as Northeast Delta Dental, bringing mindfulness into their cultures. So for me, it's been quite wonderful being able to unite these different parts of myself and, of course, of life.
And I think that's what makes you special, because it's not just, a mindfulness guru coming on high into an organization. You've run a business. You understand ultimately it is a business. And so to me, that's the great combination that you bring. Now, since you have a little bit of a accent, or maybe I have the accent, tell us where you were born and how you got to the States.
I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, which is where I studied or did my chartered accountancy, as we called it out there. And then it was in the early 1980s. And for anyone who has any knowledge or interest in South African history, they will know that apartheid and all the things that were going on were really terrible at that time. So I and many, many other young professionals left. And I left South Africa and went and did my MBA in England. And so that was way back in 1983. And then after a 10-year stint in England, I arrived on the shores of Boston. And the interesting thing I always tell people in both leadership and mindfulness is wherever you go, the first person you meet is yourself.
That's a good way of putting it. And then, of course, tell us about your work at St. A's.
Oh, St. Anselm. Right. That's another piece here. I studied comparative religion and ethics. And once I completed my PhD, I was very fortunate. I got the chair in ethics at Southern New Hampshire University. And that it was there that I began running ethics seminars combined with leadership. And that was when, Tom, you and I met one another. I was just telling Nazi, can you believe it was 2007? So we go back quite a long time, but you had a lot of foresight even right then. I did some leadership, but quite a few ethics seminars. And then I got involved with St. Anselm's and their Center for Ethics, Business and Governance. So that's another piece to, one would say, my rather mixed portfolio.
Well, and it's awesome. And of course, you're a prolific author. In the book that you were the lead author on that I contributed to called Mindfulness, A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World, I think really to me, and you can get it on Amazon, everybody, it really is a great combination of the sort of wisdom and science behind all this with Annabelle, but also sort of the strategic pragmatist in me, which was, you know, it doesn't have to be a difficult to implement. And my part of the book was to basically get employee colleagues who were willing to share, you know, this story. So I encourage people to read that book if you're stressed out, even if you're not stressed out, because you'll see the results. So let's get into that topic. What do you think? What would be the simplest way to describe mindfulness as you and I sort of employ the term? And for everybody, in the spirit of transparency, Annabelle and I have done talks on the book. We, you know, we've been together on the book. And again, I always, I'm the more or less the practitioner, not the expert. But I always say, you don't have to do Bikram yoga. You don't have to chant. You don't have to be a guru. I mean, mindfulness can be a simple matter of being present, being binary, meaning, you know, if you're on email, stay on email. Don't also try to take a call, and spending 4 or 5 minutes with yourself before you go into the office or you start your work day if you're working at home, and then at the end of the day. So that's how I've always kind of described it. But obviously, it's a little more sophisticated than that. So why don't you kind of give us a primer on that, Annabelle, and also allay anybody's fear that, you know, that if you get into mindfulness, you have to do Bikram yoga or anything like that.
No, that's true. Well, very simply, mindfulness has, let's say, these three elements. One, it is slowing down. The first thing is just simply to slow down and not try to multitask, do so many things at the same time. The next is to pay attention to one's own attention. Where is one putting one's attention? How is one putting one's attention? And what is the quality of that intention? And then the third thing is to become increasingly sensitive to how we experience things. In other words, how we experience our experience. Why am I feeling angry now? Why am I getting triggered now? And so those are three, basically, the three main elements if you put them together. So that's the starting point. And you don't, Tom, as you say, you don't have to do anything complicated. You start off with simply slowing down, being present, and paying attention.
Exactly. And of course, part of this was many of us, and I have to find myself so I don't get caught up in this, feel like we're being more efficient when we multitask, when in fact, of course, the human brain is binary. So I didn't coin the term, but I say, please unitask. And there's all sorts of science now, right, Annabelle, that suggests or demonstrates that you're actually more efficient, you know, when you're focused and, like you say, slow down on one task and try to juggle all these things when you may be doing a lot of things, but not necessarily, you know, one thing effectively.
Right, right. Well, we're so caught up in, you know, I've got to get this off my list. So let me go as quickly as possible, tick it off my list. And if we change that mentality to rather, well, you know, move from the fast, speedy to the quality.
We'll get to the pandemic, but before the pandemic, and you know, I've shared this before, we all have one of those moments when we say, geez, I've got to do something. So mine occurred where I live about 15 minutes. This was pre-Zooms and all that. But so I was doing a regular teleconference with my board chairman, and I have about a 15-minute drive to my home, Nazzy. So this is all hands-free. So got into the parking lot, dialed everything up, had it all set, you know, made sure that the three chair people were on the line, put my two hands on the wheel, so I'm safely driving straight ahead. Well, I ended up in my driveway not remembering how I got there. I mean, I had these conversations the whole way. So the whole point was that was my wake up call.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, so I don't have I done a call in the car since then? Perhaps, but definitely, you know, nothing important. No board teleconference, you know, during that. And that was my wake up call. And right after the break, we'll talk about whether everybody needs that moment, you know, to really get into mindfulness. Yeah.
All right, so let's take a break and let's come back next and talk more.
Nazzy, I hope you're not multitasking while you're
me? Never, Tom.
I need to get you in the book. All right. Are we back?
All right, welcome back. It is Nazzy for the Pulse of New Hampshire, Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Of course, Mr. Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. And before the break, Tom, that story you said about when you're driving and you have no memory of how you got home, my gosh, that is so common for so many people, especially those of us that are multitasking. Maybe we're trying to figure out who's going to do daycare for our kids after school and what we're doing for supper and all these other things. And before you know it, you're like, wow, I'm sitting in my driveway. Very, very scary, but it's very common, you know?
Yeah. And that was my wake up call. That's what I needed. And then of course I already mentioned that, again, this was pre-pandemic, but when, you know, so everybody was in the office and I would walk around and I would see people, you know, doing emails and on the phone. And then I started to kind of spot check, you know, emails that went out to some of our customers, and they were obviously, you know, were written in a distracted way. And of course, as Annabelle mentioned, long before mindfulness, you know, Annabelle had familiarity with our company. And so she knows a lot of our employees, so it was just so logical to have mindfulness training, and I use that term loosely because it's not training, it's more of a conversation. But the book Mindfulness: A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World, primary author being Professor Burrell, I was a contributor from the perspective of the practicing it, and I've to this day I see people, you know, when I'm at different events, running events, now that the other business events are starting, they're saying I keep that book, you know, right by my side. And as, you know, as Annabelle described before the break, it's simply a matter of slowing down, paying attention to being attentive, sensitive to yourself, to others, listening, unitasking instead of multitasking. And we each have our own ways of doing that. Mine is I do spend, before I get into work mode, I kind of spend 3 minutes thinking about my day. And then before I re-engage home, I do the same at the back end of the day. And that seems to be working for me. So, Annabelle, so you had been working with many of our employees.
Right.
And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And and we, of course, really did try to continue it. And I think relatively successfully during the pandemic. And as mentioned, as people kind of come in here and there, and still 60% of our employees are working from home, I run into people and they swear by what you've been doing during the pandemic. So tell us a little bit about that. And if there's an HR person at another employer, if they're interested in doing this, how would they contact you?
Sure. What we do when we get together in the hour, which is the perfect time really, is people come and they sort of check in, and it's a very safe space. People are asked, please not to text, of course, no multitasking, to be present to one another. And very, very briefly, they just share, I'm a little anxious, or a friend of mine got COVID, or unfortunately, in some cases, people had death and so on. So there's a space to hold that. And then what I usually do is give a brief talk or tell a story, which always has some theme or motto that comes back to the mindfulness idea of how we can be present to ourselves, the inner resources that we have available, the importance of being grounded, the ability to be non-reactive once we slow down and pay attention and be present. All these things that I bring in. And then we do a meditation for about 15 to 20 minutes. And I will say that the participants are really quite marvelous. And they all say without fail that it has made them feel more grounded. It has made them slow down. And the big one is less reactive. And as you mentioned in the beginning, it's not only at work, of course, it's in your whole life. So they're experiencing better relationships at home, particularly with the pandemic when, both partners were working at home and maybe there weren't two offices and one was working in the kitchen and tempers could get a little frayed. So this was all helpful in grounding, in slowing down and non-reactivity. So I would really say that your employees are very grateful, and I think they should be too, for you making this possible for them, because they say it has helped them enormously.
And we support it all, management and non-judgmental. I try to get others involved, but I don't make any judgments. We used to get the comment, do I have the time to to meditate? And I guess I would argue, you need that investment because you can't afford not to do it. But why don't you respond in your own words? How would you respond to that if someone said, "Geez, I can't give the hour"? Like I said, in my case, I try to practice 5 or 10 minutes in the morning and or 10 minutes at night. But how would you respond to someone that said that they can't afford the time? It's actually kind of, in a way, why you really do need to do it. But go ahead.
Exactly. Well, the mindfulness and meditation as a practice is a way of life. It's not really another thing to do. And this is where I think people get confused. It's really just altering your priorities. I haven't heard anybody say to me, I don't have enough time to be on Facebook. I don't have enough time to be on Twitter. I don't have enough time to talk to my friends or whatever. I don't have enough time to go to the gym. Everybody is very clear. They need to get exercise. Well, this is just part of really good living. It is a way of growing in self-awareness. It is about calming and helping one's own brain just as much as you want to help your muscles and you want to do all the other things when you go to the gym. So in a way, it's a matter not of not having time. It's a matter of reorienting your priorities. And as you point out, Tom, and I say to people too, if one would just commit to the discipline of 10 minutes a day, 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, 5 to 10 minutes in the evening with the same dedication as one goes to the gym, as one goes for a walk, as one sits with someone else and gives them their attention, they would be surprised at what a difference that would make and how more present they would be and how less anxious. Just that grounding and getting to be with oneself is a great gift to oneself.
And of course, as the listening audience can hear, Annabelle has this great soothing voice. And that's another thing I hear from the group, you know, when I run into them, it's like you kind of make them, you know, get more, you know, more at peace. Could you tell us about, you know, now that there are studies about, you know, we, as I said earlier, like we sometimes, all of us, and I've fallen into this trap, you're deluding yourself, you're checking boxes, you've done this or that, you're doing this multitasking, but the studies now demonstrate you're actually more productive if you unitask and focus. So how is that science out there now, and how do we convince people that that's indeed, you know, the reality of the human brain and the body?
Right. Well, Tom, as you well know, the science is showing more and more that we think we're multitasking, but the brain doesn't multitask. It actually moves very rapidly from one thing to another. And what we don't realize is how exhausting that is for the brain. There's nothing more tiring than switching tasks. And we all know that because when we're really focusing and concentrating and we're in the middle of something and then somebody knocks on the door or somebody, you know, calls us, and we say, oh, gee, and we know that it takes an effort to switch and then an effort to get back into that focus. Well, just in a much smaller way, that's exactly the same that happens. So number one is multitasking is a fallacy. We might think we're doing it, but that's not really so. Number two is it's extremely exhausting, and no wonder we say by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, I need my coffee or my sugar or whatever, because the brain uses up, a lot of glucose and that type of thing. Number three is it impairs our decision-making ability. What they have really found is that our decision-making ability, particularly where we have to hold a number of different ideas or concepts, particularly if they're conflicting in our minds at the same time, takes a lot of brain energy. And if we have been exhausting the brain with these multitasking, this is of great detriment. So, and I could just add one thing to that, is so often we say, oh, we got to interview somebody. Oh, when am I not that busy? Or, oh, we got to make this decision. Let's do it when I have a gap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's really the worst time to do it, because by then our brains are exhausted with all this multitasking, twittering, and so on.
And so there's two huge points there, Nazzy. One, that it impairs good decision-making. And two, it's exhausting and not healthy.
And it heightens our stress. You know, we get more and more stressed.
And that's not healthy for a long, you know, productive life. One thing on that last point, I've learned to, when I schedule things now, to have a lot of white space between meetings. Yeah. Little technique like that. So I'm not, if the meeting's at 3, I'm not tightly booked till 2:55. So I'm racing in there and whatever. So I now have that. So just little techniques like that work. And you can find many of those techniques and a lot of the science behind this. But what maybe people are really interested in is how it's changed employees' lives at Northeast Delta Dental by picking up mindfulness, A Better Me, A Better You, A Better World by Professor Annabelle Burrell. With me as a sort of co-minor author in it, and I provided some of the anecdotes. So there's more details in that book, Nazzy, that I think, judging from how I see you sometimes multitasking, that I think you should pick up this book.
Me?
And you can get it on Amazon. All right. Mindfulness, a better me, a better you, a better world. Thank you, Professor Burrell. I mean, you're amazing. When we get surveys on how these sessions go with mine, they're off the charts. We have metrics for everything. So she's a huge part of our company. And I urge my CEO colleagues, if you think you're stressed out or your colleagues, or even if they're not, give Professor Burrell a call, 781-771-5663. 781-771-5663. Thank you, Annabelle.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, Nazzy.
You've got it. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next time. Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Okay. Bye for now.